Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. In Beijing, Vladimir Putin, president of the Russian Federation, and Xi Jinping, general secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, agreeing on everything in terms of military cooperation in order to refute, push back, challenge what is called the containment by the U.S. and NATO. At the same time, I learned from a colleague of mine, Anatoly Levin, back home in Moscow, that Vladimir Putin has made an important change. Andrei Belousov is the new minister of defense. He's no general. He's no former military man. He's an economist, 65 years old. And his mission is not to win the war in Ukraine, which will be won or lost by other generals, but to reindustrialize Russia. This is something I'm told Vladimir Putin has been promising for years, reindustrialization. I'm keen on that word, and I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com. This is the Scholar Report, because it's the same word I've heard from the EU when it talks about its defense needs, reindustrialization, complaining that they offloaded defense industry to the United States many years ago and have to rebuild their own. It's also a word I hear in the U.S., especially from the U.S. Navy representatives, saying we must reindustrialize are shipbuilding, but they mean in all directions. And then there's the complication that the U.S. has a really extremely envied tech sector. Chris, a very good evening to you. Reindustrialization. Everybody wants to use that word, but it has many meanings. Your measure of the reindustrialization overseas, especially the tech reindustrialization. I've come to talk to you only about TSMC. Are other countries investing in reindustrializing their tech sector, or is it entirely in the U.S.? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Europe is certainly aware of the U.S. efforts under CHIPS Act to bring back or reshore much of the chip manufacturing that's for products consumed in the United States and globally. The Europeans have spoken about, at the EU level, a EU-style CHIPS Act, but it's not come together. Europe is kind of caught between the rock and the hard place, where while the U.S. is reindustrializing and reshoring hard tech in chip manufacturing, Europe is much, much smaller in that area and has less and less capability to be self-sustainable. So Europe is not only concerned about the domination of China of certain sectors, but also the domination of the U.S. So it's a two-front war for them.
Let's go to China, because there's an odd statistic I have from Ann Stevenson Yang. It doesn't match up with the presumption that China is heavily industrialized and outpacing everyone in building, in reaction, and even in chip making. Ann tells me that there has not been an IPO at the Shanghai market for 3 years. Is that accurate? And what does that mean?
So, John, it means that you're not seeing that wealth formation at the same level that you saw in the early 2020s. That being said, we in the U.S. are not exactly knocking the cover off the ball either. There were over 1,000 IPOs in 2021, yet in 2023, there are only 154. So the rate globally of IPOs has decreased dramatically. That's part of the business cycle and not to be unexpected. But in China, where you did have such a ascendant rise, now the fact that everything's kind of stopped is both economic as well as governmental. The government has kind of put the brakes or tapped the brakes on new Chinese companies going public because of the concerns of control.
Is the lack of IPOs in Shanghai, is this another way of talking about the unemployment and the real estate bubble collapse and the debt that's loaded on the municipalities that the central government won't pay? Is that what the IPO also means?
This is certainly part of it. Many things in China are a mirage, and a lot of the growth and development in China has been driven specifically by immense, immense, immense amounts of debt. And now those chickens are coming home to roost. But secondarily, there were actions in the last 3 years where NASDAQ and NYSE said, Chinese companies, if you're going to list on American exchanges, you have to be much more transparent. It's well known globally that the accounting standards in Chinese companies are not up to a global standard. And there's a lot of waste, fraud, abuse within those books. As U.S. regulators said, hey, if you're going to be on our exchanges, you have to follow our accounting rules. The Chinese government pushed back. And I think that's also put a big damper on Chinese stocks or Chinese companies listing outside of China.
The Chinese company of the day to talk about is called BYD. It makes, among other things, electric vehicles. I understand they're competitively priced. And there's the suggestion that they've heavily been subsidized and they're flooding European and South American and African markets, but not the U.S. The Biden administration has moved to put very heavy tariff restrictions on imports of Chinese green technology. EVs would qualify. However, I see that there is a presenting workaround, which is to build a big BYD plant in Mexico and in some fashion finesse the USMCA mandates for how much a car can be made of material from the U.S., how much from outside the U.S. China is being clever. Is it? Is it going to work to get, I think the White House used the word leakage. They're worried about leakage. Is that going to work, Chris, to get the BYD in this country?
John, they're thinking of it purely as an economics play to say, hey, you can beat tariffs. You can, if you're developing the car or building the auto in the NAFTA trade zone. The challenge is within the U.S. for automotive, you have the safety standards, and the BYD products in all probability will be hamstrung by U.S. safety standards. So even if you can beat the tariff side, you're not likely going to qualify or beat the safety side.
Leaving China behind and Russia reindustrialization, that would be, go back to the beginning, 1913, guys. Got to start all over again because what the Soviets built was not only dangerous, it wrecked the environment. So let's stay with us, our manufacturing. I get a report from Toronto this morning watching the U.S. market that there is a manufacturing decline month over month and that the March gain was revised downward as well. And in general, manufacturing is not prospering here, except for the tech business. High-tech production increased by 1.0% last month. The annual growth rate slowed to 9.4%. That's the envy of the whole world. So have we got two different universes here? There's tech and there's everybody else?
John, there's tech and there is everybody else. Tech manufacturing, the benefits thus far of CHIPS plan have not really been seen simply because it takes so long to bring these plants online. So you'll start to see positive economic momentum around those facilities and their output in the 26, 27 years. The challenge, the greater economy is if you take out government intervention, all the debt that's being printed and money flowing into the economy that way, the economy's been shrinking the last 2 years. So below the surface, the consumer's tapped, manufacturing is slowing, and principally that comes to the interest rate cycle around the government pumping too much money into the economy.
This would be another way to describe the vulnerability of what are called the Magnificent Seven, seven big companies, and there might be several more we could add in here, that dominate the market right now, and I believe all the growth is in seven or ten companies. It's extremely unhealthy from the point of view of market makers. At the same time, it does describe our economy as, we're not exactly a Potemkin village, but we're beginning to look something like pushing out Microsoft and NVIDIA as our typical of our companies, and they're not at all. They're completely built on the expectation of AI that may or may not happen. What about it? What about the S&P 493? How are they doing, Chris?
John, it's a great point. When you look at all of those companies below that absolute rarefied air of the top tier, the Mag 7, the 85% of companies, public companies that are listed, had really been pretty flatlined the last 5 years. So there's not been material growth. So to your exact point, that growth is concentrated in a very small cohort of very high-performing ultra-tech companies. But the broader market is experiencing kind of a flat condition. That may be part of the consumer story. That may be part of the debt story. But the bigger story is the haves and have-nots and how that plays out on the economy and political spectrum.
And the Biden administration and Congress are pouring more money into the winners. That's what the CHIPS Act is, right? We're investing. It's going to pay off. But what about the other 493? They're not investing in those.
It's a great question. And John, those businesses in the 493 continue to struggle with these very high interest rates. Until that corrects, it's going to continue to be a big headwind for American business.
I want to be positive here. The tech end, the S&P 7 and their attendant brothers, they're doing well. Is that correct, Chris? This is not wasted money.
They're doing well, but as all things with tech, there will be a lot of money that goes in to 50, 60, 100 companies to have two or three winners, but those two or three winners will be very big winners.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space. He has business on all the continents, which is why I enjoy these conversations about how we're doing. If you're one of the Mag 7, you're doing fine. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.